Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, under Twitter, FFR Podcast, and remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We're back. This is Freeform Radio. I am Andy.
I'm Daniel.
And we're back, doing back at the grind, I guess. And yeah, this week, what'd you do, Danny? You had a lot of, I see you had a lot of wrestling on your mind.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to bring up, I did it a couple of weeks ago now, but I never really mentioned it in the podcast, but I took a drive out to Moline, Illinois to go see a wrestling house show for the WWE. And took the family. It was Junior's first time to WWE. Alana's as well, I believe, if I recall correctly. Them. Yeah. It was a house show. It wasn't SmackDown. It wasn't Raw. And it wasn't a big pay-per-view. It was one of those non-televised shows.
A house show.
Yeah.
Real quick, how far is the drive from your house to East Moline to let the people out there know?
Yeah, I had never been there before. So it was a good, you know, 2+ hours. It was almost 3 hours to get there. If you're taking it easy, 2.5, if you're really, like, you know, pumping the mega mix and you're driving really quick. So, but, you know, we took a couple stops and then we went to eat halfway through. We stopped by a Cracker Barrel on the way there. Cracker Barrel. Yeah, so, you know, usually whenever we do, like, long road trips, we always try to find a Cracker Barrel just because there's really not one close to our area. It's a good, you know, 40.
They're all far away.
Yeah, it's like a 40-minute drive to, or maybe even an hour to get to a Cracker Barrel from where we live. So, yeah, man, we drove out there a couple of weeks ago. Junior's been wanting to see John Cena pretty bad. And with all the rumors of him possibly retiring or limiting his wrestling schedule.
He's settling down.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get into that in a minute, but yeah, we're like, let's go do it before he retires or goes down to like that Brock Lesnar schedule where he only does like WrestleMania and like maybe SummerSlam and stuff like that. But otherwise, he doesn't really show up too much.
Oh, I thought the schedule would just suplex everybody. And
yeah, suplex
out.
City. Yeah, for sure, man. That's definitely a Brock Lesnar schedule.
That's the schedule you want.
Yeah. So, yeah, we went out to East Moline, man. It was a good time, man. Because of the drive and what time the show was scheduled to finish, I mean, usually wrestling shows are 3-4 hours.
Right.
And this one started at 7, so it ended around 11 o'clock. So I wasn't up for driving 3 hours back home, especially because there's a really long stretch where there's nothing, man. It's just like cornfields and not even an exit. So there's not even like gas stations or, you know, like
anything. Cracker Barrels.
No, there's no
station.
McDonald's, no nothing. So there's a big stretch where there's nothing. And I'm like, I don't want to be driving this back at 1 o'clock in the morning, car breakdown or something happens.
Hear that guy go, you got pretty mouth.
Yeah. Some coyote, you know, runs across my car and I end up hitting him. And, you know, I just didn't want to deal with it. So we ended up finding a hotel. Western something, I forget the name of it now.
Best Western.
You know, now that I'm saying it a lot, I don't think that was the name of it. I don't know. It was a pretty nice. It wasn't a Marriott, but it was a really nice hotel. Had a pool and we had a balcony, and it was really nice. It was a nice hotel. Ended up finding it on one of those hot fires. I forgot the one that you suggested.
Priceline.
There you go. And checked it out, and I mean, it was nice. It almost seemed like Junior even liked the hotel more than the wrestling show.
I was gonna say what. So if John Cena's there, I'm in the wrestling know, so it's a SmackDown brand show.
Uh-huh.
So who else was on the card besides Cena? Well, first of all, was Cena the main event?
Yeah, he was the main event. It was versus Bray Wyatt. Because like I mentioned, this was a few weeks ago, so he still had the strap. So it was him versus Bray Wyatt. And then I believe Corbin was the third guy.
It was a three-way dance.
Yeah, it was like a three-way. Because I kind of figured, I'm like, because if it's a three-way, they're probably trying to get it where the champ doesn't have to get pinned to actually lose. Because they didn't want to give him that, you know, kind of, you know, because it was coming into WrestleMania. It wasn't that long ago. So it was just a couple of weeks ago. They probably wanted to keep that heat on Bray Wyatt and whatnot. So
was Nikki Bella with him?
Nah, Nikki Bella was not there.
That's not worth the drive.
Yeah, there was other divas. There was like I don't know if Bailey's SmackDown, but there
probably
was
the orange hair chick, right? Becky.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The one with the goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goggles chick.
Becky Lynch.
I don't really watch too much of the women's wrestling, but there was some goggle chick, and then there was a couple girls, you know, blonde hair girls. I don't really know.
Bliss or something.
Yeah, yeah. But no, man, it was pretty cool. They had Randy Orton was there. That was a good one that I liked.
Did he do an RK out of nowhere to everyone?
Yeah, he did RKO. I think he was wrestling the other guy, the Bray Wyatt guy.
The Tawad.
The one with the white wife beater. That guy.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, the one with the beard.
I
know who you're
talking about. I'm sorry. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he ended up fighting him.
He got injured, yeah.
And the Alpha Males were there. Fandango and
Tyler Breeze.
They were tagging up.
Did they show him with his selfie cam on the screen?
You know what? They didn't. No. I've seen it because... jumping a little bit ahead, I ended up, because of this and Junior kind of getting hyped up, I ended up getting the WWE Network for a month or 2 months. I forget what the subscription is or what I signed up for. And I've been watching some of their old stuff, and I've been watching this thing called Breaking Ground.
It's right, like, right, like their little intro.
Yeah, like the
documentary.
Yeah, like the NXT guys coming up, and it showed Tyler Breeze. And how he changed his gimmick a few times. Yeah. And the last one was, like you mentioned, the selfie stick where they would actually show it to the Titantron.
Well, he, real quick, on NXT, he was like the guy for a while. Like this guy, they're like, he's going to have a future. And they were dying to bring him up. And when they had the NXT takeovers, he headlined a couple of them, or one or two. And then they brought him up, and he just... He hasn't really resonated with the people, and I think they stuck him in there with Fandango. And because that's another guy, Triple H was high on that Fandango, and it just did never work out for those guys. They're just, they're tag teaming. They're like mid-carders at best.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think with tag teams, if you can get some good heat, if you're, you know, the bad guys or whatnot, I think you can make it, man. If you could get some good heat, get that crowd to really hate you and boo you pretty bad, especially with his gimmick where he thinks he's like kind of like a Shawn Michaels kind of character.
He's a pretty boy.
Yeah. You can get people to hate you pretty quick when you just keep flaunting it in their face that you guys are ugly and, you know, I'm this pretty boy.
He reminds me kind of like Rick Martel when he was the model.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spraying arrogance on people's face. He needs something like that, man. Like his perfume, and he's just like spraying it on people's and women's face. He needs something like that.
Well, even going back farther, Andy, what about Gorgeous George?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that guy, he used to spray cologne onto the mat because he wanted to smell good while he's wrestling.
So that's what I'm saying. He needs something like that. Like the thing with the selfie stick and like he's always, doing selfies. It's kind of cool, but they need to take it up a notch. I don't know what to do. I don't know what he would need to do, but him and Fandango, I mean, I don't really watch SmackDown. I see some highlights once in a while, and I'm just like, this is not interesting me. Like, I don't get it.
I think, like you said, he needs to bring up the intensity a little bit, get a good rival going with somebody, and just start being a really bad guy, man. Like, just start, being a real asshole and get the people to really give you some heat. And then I think the gimmick will work if he...
He's not that bad of a wrestler. And I know they had really high hopes from, I think Triple H did, and it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, I think like you mentioned, NXT, they're really high on him, especially that special that I mentioned.
Oh, yeah,
I've been watching.
He's going to be the guy, dude.
They keep bringing him up. They keep mentioning, I've been here for 4 years. A lot of people come to me for, questions on how they should do things because, I'm like the veteran here.
I heard of it, I haven't seen and real quick on the Breaking Ground, did they show the meetings when they're talking about the wrestlers?
Yeah, they
like
show
Triple
the
H is there.
The performance, like they go over like a review like every week or something. I've only watched like 4 episodes and I haven't seen Triple H at all.
Those meetings are happening.
The meetings are
Who's
happening.
In those meetings?
It's the guy with the tattoos, the guy that used to come out with tests, and he's one of the coaches. Albert Prince.
Okay.
Yeah, he's there. You got Norman Smiley. You got this other Irish guy that I don't know.
Was he dancing in the meetings and all that shit? Screaming?
No, not screaming. Norman Smiley. No. But he's in there. Billy Gunn's there.
Okay, Billy Gunn's no longer there.
Billy Gunn and another guy that
is Dusty in those meetings or no?
No, I think he was dead already because they make mention of the Dusty Tag Team Classic something kind of tournament. So I believe he had passed away by then. So, yeah, no, I saw like one or two other like recognizable, you know, like these are from old school wrestlers. But most of the people are younger, newer trainers and whatnot. So, yeah, man, it was a pretty good show, actually. I got hooked. Me and my wife have been watching the Total Bellas as well. So
nice spy show.
Yeah, so we've been watching the a lot of WWE.
How many seasons they got Total Bellas or Total Divas?
We haven't watched any of the Total Divas. The one that we watched is the spinoff, the one afterwards, the Total Bellas, where it's...
Oh, they have Total Bellas on there?
Yeah, yeah, where it's just John Cena.
Where they're having Cena and his rules and all that shit.
Yeah, where he's like, all right, these are the house rules.
Did you see the one where the dog bit him?
Yeah, the dog bit him on his leg.
Get out of here, man. This is inappropriate. We can't have this.
Yeah, I think they kind of over the top it, but I did hear he is kind of OCD like that at times.
Man, I gotta renew. I didn't know that was on there because that's one of the ones I wanted to see.
I mean, it's only one season. I think
that's all they give them.
Six episodes or something, or eight episodes.
With Johnny Ace, People Power.
Yeah, Johnny Ace is on there. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He's like, I want to marry your wife, your mother, People Power.
But
I love you guys. You're like my real family now. I'm like, what happened to his old family? They must hate his guts or something.
Yeah, we actually just finished the season. So my wife's like, that's it? There's no more? And I'm like, oh, we can go back and watch the Total Divas. That's how it started. And kind of see how everything, or at least that program started. But the very last season was Total Bellas. And I believe they went back to calling it Total Divas, and now it's with all the girls.
Well, they've always had Total Divas.
Okay.
All right? It's always been like that. And then they're like, they start bringing in new women, and then they're like, Bella's like, man, screw that. We want our own show, which they got. Okay. Then it was going to be them and the mom and the... Daniel Bryan. Yeah, and then I seen like episodes. I'm like, this is fucking weird. Like, it's like super scripted. Like, the women go down there, and we're gonna go to this room and have cigars and wine, and they're all just like, they're just talking in suits, and it's just like, this is fucking weird. Like, how real can this be? Like, there's just no way it could be this real.
Yeah, I think some of it's a work. You know, it's like, you know, let's ham it up a little bit. But I've read in places that some of it is based on reality. John Cena is like that for the most part, but maybe not to that extreme, not turned up to 10. But yeah, it was a pretty good show, and Alana's been really digging it.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to the Moline thing, it was cool, man. I had a good time. We ended up getting half-decent tickets. I mean, for house shows, you don't really have to spend too much. I think the tickets were like $25, and we were right about there. We were in the first or second row right before the folding chairs start. At the ground level. Well,
let me ask you this real quick. Who was the opening match? This is like inside. I need to know because I want to see. It's like it's a hierarchy and all this shit work, people, for wrestling.
Who show? I don't.
Who's the opening tag of the match?
I don't recall. I know Alpha Males was pretty low on the card, and there was another match or two before that, but I can't quite recall who
The guy with no chin was either? Like his hot woman?
A guy with no chin. Oh, no, Ellsworth. Yeah. No, I think he's a Raw guy because
he's on SmackDown.
Is he SmackDown? Yeah. I didn't see him at the show.
Guy, he got in there just because he didn't have a chin and not. He was in WrestleMania.
Yeah, when I first bought the tickets, AJ Styles was on the card, but the day he was not on there.
No show.
They ended up scratching him off the card.
They put him somewhere else.
Yeah. But originally he was on there, so I was kind of excited to see him because I'm a fan of AJ Styles as well. Randy Orton I'm a fan of, so I was glad to see him.
Out of all those people, what you recall, who did Junior pop for?
Usually just like he was really cool with the alpha males. He liked them. The Lucha Dragons came out. He liked the
Lucha Dragons. Oh, was Sin Cara and the other guy?
Well, it was only the one guy. I can't remember which one. They both kind of look alike to me. I couldn't really tell them apart.
One's Puerto Rican, then. Come on.
Well, I mean, they both got masks. I don't know who's who.
The one's from Texas.
I want to say it wasn't Sin Cara's, because I think Sin Cara's has that whole shoulder blacked out.
Yeah.
And I don't recall that being the guy that was out there.
It was the other guy.
Kalisto, yes. Yeah. So I believe it was Kalisto and Junior really popped, because the crowd really got nuts for that. All the kids started getting up and singing that Lucha, 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 yeah. Lucha. So they were going kind of nuts with that.
She was like, man, what's going on? What am I missing now?
And then the Randy Orton, he popped. He likes Randy Orton's song. He likes his little intro.
That's weird. I imagine the kids would like Randy Orton because he's a little dark and shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised. I think it's more the song. I think it's a catchy tune, and he really digs it. And then other than John Cena, the only other guy that he really dug was The Miz. He was really into The Miz.
Who'd The Miz fight? You remember?
You know, I don't remember who he fought.
Was Maurice with him?
Yeah, Maurice was with him.
It was worth the money just alone.
And he had a really long promo when he first came out. He's doing his little promo, and he keeps trying to mention how Moline sucks. And every time he would raise his mic to say it, you know, and be like, you know, me and my wife, this is a garbage town. And then he would just, you know, kind of do like a long arching move with his mic. And every time he would move, the crowd would just get so loud that he couldn't even talk. And he did that for like literally like a minute, just back and forth, back and forth. Shtick. Yeah.
Your town sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you. Who plays here? Oh, yeah, man, your baseball team sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone would come out, I've been here and this place is awesome.
Yeah, and then the other guy comes out, and then they had a pretty good match. I think Miz went over. On that match, but
Miz has come a long way, man. He main evented a couple WrestleManias and knocked them down, but he's a pretty good heel.
I think the WWE is giving him a lot of respect this go around, and they're trying to push him up.
Right.
I think he's moving up from mid card to maybe the top card.
He's a good IC guy, mid card, but I think that's how they see him. But he's come a long way from the top, and what they're doing now with, especially with the match he had at WrestleMania with Cena, they're giving him a lot of leeway to be a fucking dick, basically.
You know? Yeah, yeah. But no, it was good, man. The trip was good. The time out there was good. Got some good restaurants while we were out there. Some
more Cracker Barrels.
Moline, some Cracker Barrels. And then the Mississippi River, just watching the river there, man. It's really awe-inspiring just watching how big that is, the bridges. It was just a really cool time.
So you're saying you disagree with The Miz? It's not a garbage town?
I didn't stay there long enough to really tell. And where I was staying seemed really like an industrial area. It was kind of weird.
That means jobs. Smell means jobs.
And that's what I was telling my wife. I'm like, it's by the Mississippi River, so there's probably like a lot of dock jobs, a lot of shipping containers. So there's probably like a lot of, you know, commerce here with, you know, whatever shipping boats or whatnot. So, yeah, you could tell it was a lot of industrial, a lot of jobs, stuff like that. So, but it was a good time, man. It was a good trip. I enjoyed myself. I know Junior was kind of hyped. So, we can't wait to go to our next wrestling show. I'll probably try to go, like, to an actual SmackDown or an actual Raw so he could see all the fireworks and all the, you know, just all the craziness. Even though this one, it did have some good production, but nothing, no fireworks.
Did you see that they're going to be in town for NXT?
The NXT takeover. I saw those tickets are coming. Rude is going to be
the guy with the strap.
Yeah, the main guy, and there was a few other guys that I think I
would have gone if they would have had Nakamura, but since they brought him up, I don't think.
Yeah, they pushed him up, man. Which I don't really know much about him, and it was like the first time I really heard his intro, and it's a pretty catchy tune with the violin.
King of Strong Style, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man.
That guy was an MMA fighter, and then he wrestled, and like his stick in Japan was like really strong, and then he was kind of eccentric and stuff. He was kind of weird, and people really dug him, and then he's already old. He's like in his mid to late 30s, so yeah. I don't know how much of a run or how hard they can really push him, but because WWE travel is that schedule is a grind. What everybody read about, especially at that age. So we'll see. Let's see how it's gonna be interesting to see how he does.
No, for sure, man. And speaking of WWE, Andy, I also watched WrestleMania.
Who didn't?
Right? I tuned in, and like I mentioned, I ended up getting the network like the day before WrestleMania, because Junior was really excited, so we wanted to see that the John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Maurice and The Miz. That was like
Hold on. Was Alana excited because she wanted to see Nikki Bella beat the shit out of Maurice or something?
Nah, she didn't really watch it. I forgot what she was doing while me and Junior were watching the wrestling show. And then, to be honest, Junior didn't really watch much at all. He just watched the John Cena, and then he kind of like would be in and out. He would go play with his toys, and he would come back and just watch like a quick spot or two, and then he would take off again.
Wasn't excited to see Kurt Angle, man?
Nah. I was excited, man. I didn't get to watch the Hall of Fame. I didn't sign up early enough for that. Ended up watching it like the day or so after. But, man, WrestleMania was pretty cool, man.
You watched all 20 hours of it?
Nah, I just watched it starting like at 6 o'clock or whatever time it started. All the way to... I didn't even watch the ending, to be honest. I watched it up to the Brock Lesnar match. And then once I saw the next match was some women's title belt something, I was just like, I'm going to bed.
Lesnar?
Yeah, that was the last one that I watched.
Goldberg wasn't selling shit.
I think it was part of the show. I think it was to show that he is like, you know, like a freak of nature, and he you know, these bumps don't hurt him. But then I'll tell you what, after 10 suplexes, you saw him get up really slow. So I think he you know, he showed it well that, you know, all these suplexes just kept wearing him down to the point where he made him human again, and he wasn't like this supernatural beast anymore.
Right.
So, no, man, I thought it was cool. Did you end up watching WrestleMania?
Yeah, I watched the parts of it. My stream had a lot of issues. But, yeah, I watched that Lesnar. I saw the Triple H Rollins match. I saw, what was the other one I saw? I saw, like, four matches live, and then it was just freaking long. I didn't watch none of the Divas stuff. I saw them come up. I'm just like, man, I'm going to the bathroom, man. And I just turned off the stream. And then I did not see the Undertaker Roman thing, yeah, it was just too long. I watched what was the other one I watched? The Hardys returned. I saw that.
Yeah, the tag.
That was kind of interesting. I think they got like the biggest pop of the night.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. They're still debating of using that broken gimmick. I don't know. I don't think so. They're being very careful how they word it.
Well, I think they're having problems with what is it called? Impact. I don't think they want to give it up.
Shown that it was trademarked by Matt, the Hardys, but they're like disputing it, and so I don't know what they're gonna do. It's gonna be. That's why they're like very limited on how to use it on the WWE, because they don't want to pay them or something. So it's gonna be interesting seeing what they do.
Yeah, man. From the show, the few things that I recall. AJ Styles versus Shane O'Mac.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I wanted to see it, and I didn't get time to see it.
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. You know, obviously the whole thing was that Shane's not a wrestler, that all he does is these big high spots, and that's it. So what they actually did for the match is that he came out and actually tried to wrestle. He did, like, arm bars, hip tosses, and whatnot. And then he was doing like MMA finishers, you know, like an arm bar, and he was doing like this, like a chicken hold, or yeah, he was trying to do them on AJ. And then AJ was obviously trying to sell it, you know, trying to make it look like, you know, he was a wrestler or whatnot.
He was like, this ain't shit, man.
And then towards the end, they started getting back into the gimmicky stuff. He did the Van Terminator thing where he jumps from rope to rope.
AJ?
No, Shane. He jumped from the top rope. And they put it like a garbage can in front of AJ, and he tried to hit him on the other side.
You think Van Damme can still do that?
Yeah. Actually, I think I seen it on some house show that he did not too long ago, maybe a few months ago on a highlight thing, and he was still doing that move.
Yeah. Can you do that?
Nah, man, no way can I jump that far.
How far would you think you would get?
Nah, probably not even halfway. The other good high spot that happened during that match is that AJ did like this baseball slide while Shane was on the outside. And man, he got him pretty good. And Shane flipped over the announcer tables, and he took a pretty good spill, and he sold it pretty good. And I was just like, wow, that looked pretty good.
It's because probably he's really hurt.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't doubt it. The other thing, which I thought was kind of shitty, is that Shane, AJ gave Shane the Clash Styles, or what do they call it?
Styles Clash. The move that's very dangerous.
Yeah, he gave him the move, and it actually looked kind of sloppy. He kind of like did it on the side. And then he goes to pin Shane, and Shane kicks out. And I was just like, how could they have Shane kick out of the Styles Clash? They make a big deal about selling it, that this is like the best move ever, and it's like so really dangerous and whatnot. So to me, I would think you'd want to protect the move and not let a guy that doesn't wrestle kick out of this move. Like, you would save it for like a Undertaker kicking out at WrestleMania kind of thing. Like, that would be the only moment somebody would kick out of it. Otherwise, when they put that move on you, that's it. It's over. You're not kicking out of it. It's, you know, to me, when you do stuff like that, it kind of downgrades the move. Kind of like the pedigree now. I remember when the pedigree used to get snapped on and you used to get it. That's it. The match is over. There's no kicking out. But now, yeah, you never know. They even do like 3 or 4 pedigrees in a match now, because they have to do so many to kind of sell it that this guy's not going to get up anymore.
It's just the generation. It's just the way it is now, because it's like normal. It's normal now. So they got to do something different. Like the Styles Clash, like when he was doing it at other places, like people legitimately got hurt. It was kind of sloppy, and the guy wasn't really prepared when he did it. It's like a lot of teamwork to make that work. And if you're not ready, you're going to get fucked up. I seen somewhere the guy was just like, he barely was able to tuck in before, like when he fell and did the move. And I seen people who didn't, they get like really hurt. So that's why WWE's never said that they weren't not going to use it. They're just going to use it very limited. And like you said, he doesn't do it all the time, and he does and he kicks out, like, then what's the purpose of doing it? It's just another normal move.
Yep, I agree. But otherwise, a pretty good match. Most of the other cards, nothing really big, exciting. The Battle Royal and all that women's matches. The Hardys, like you said, man, that was pretty good to see them come back. At first, they had not announced them, and I had not heard about them coming back. So when they first announced the three tag teams that were wrestling, New Day came out, and they're like, yeah, this is going to be a Fatal 4-Way. And I thought, I'm like, they're going to bring out the New Day. I'm like, I don't even want to watch these guys wrestle. Then all of a sudden, the Hardys came out of nowhere, and they came in as the fourth tag team. So it was pretty exciting. Was never really a huge Hardys fan, but, you know, I kind of like their high spots, you know, jumping off ladders and tables.
The tag team they're going to bring out was the Steiners.
No, I don't think Pump can do it anymore. I don't think
he can still do it, man.
Did you see how long that ramp is? I don't think he'd be able to make it all the way down there.
He could do it, man. I don't think his brother could bark the whole way down, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Hardys was pretty good. That whole tag team match was all right. It got kind of sloppy at times, but it was pretty cool, man. A few other things that I remember, the Triple H entrance, I thought was pretty cool. He came out on the motorcycle, and then Stephanie on the back, and then he came down with, like, police motorcycles. I thought the motorcycle looks pretty cool. I thought his little jacket, you know, costume thing looked pretty cool. I thought it was better than last year's Terminator thing, where he came out with like the cyborg gimmick shit on
there. Now it's like every WrestleMania he has this intense entrance and costumes and all this other shit. Yeah, the bike thing, I saw it and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, you're not even known as like a biker, dude. Like, I don't know. And then Stephanie out there with that scowl, like I don't know, man. This is weird. I was like hoping like he does something wrong and like the bike, something happens and he goes flying off.
Yeah, I did think about that.
Like, sweet. I'm like, how would they edit that out?
Yeah, like, I did think about that, because when he got to the bottom, he started rubbing it. Yeah. And I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if the brake releases and he just takes off?
Because I never known him to be like a motorcycle guy. I don't even think he knew one. I know Vince, I've seen pictures of Vince with driving motorcycles with like Hogan and shit, but I've never never once heard about Triple H about motorcycles.
That maybe that's why it was a three-wheeler. Yeah, that's maybe why, maybe he can't ride a motorcycle. I don't know.
Stephanie's like, I ain't going to get no fucking bike. You need a trike or something to be safe.
Yeah. We kind of talked about the Brock. The Randy Orton match was nothing too special.
I didn't like the worms in the bottom of the ring, man.
I thought that was pretty neat, but I didn't think it was something that they should be using all the time. So hopefully this is just like a WrestleMania spot, and then that's it. They're not going to really use it all the time.
Who knows? I did not like that match. And then Randy winning was just like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't think he really should go over. I like him better as he chases the belt rather than being the champ. And then just the Undertaker thing to me, I thought it was a kind of sloppy match, nothing really big, just a bunch of Superman and spears and Superman punches and spears, nothing really that cool. Probably the best part of that match was just hearing JR come back and announce it. And then now I guess he did sign like a 2-year contract. I don't know if it's limited or what he's going to be doing.
I did hear on this other podcast that he was going to sign, you know how WWE is trying to get in England, the Impact signed a deal on a big channel over there like ITV and to get Impact Wrestling. And one of the rumors was that they were going to get JR to do the British version, the voiceovers.
Okay.
And that WWE got kind of wind of it, so they offered him a 2-year deal. So he wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. Yeah, I heard that in this other podcast. That was one of the reasons they brought him back, because they found out that he was negotiating with Impact to do the voiceover, to do the announcing over for ITV, because that's like ITV in England is like kind of a big deal. They used to have wrestling a long time ago, and then it went away. They started experimenting with like local wrestling, and it was like all right. It was like okay, it's good enough. Like let's sign somebody, and then they signed Impact. And that the Impact was in negotiations with JR to do the ring work, the announcing, like he did for like New Japan,
and
HD Net, like that type of deal. And that WWE got a wind of it and they signed him up immediately.
Wow. I like JR. I don't know if it's just a nostalgia thing, but I liked hearing him calling the Undertaker
he's our
match.
Gordon Solie, yeah. So he's just like, that's the voice. Him and Lawler like are great.
Yeah.
So I don't know. To hear Lawler, like, he ain't doing any of that shit, sometimes it's weird. Because I did like Lawler a lot, especially when he was a bad guy.
Well, he came out for one match as well and announced, I can't remember which. I want to say maybe, like, the John Cena one. It was somewhere in the mid-card that he came out and announced.
Because Ronaldo, the guy who does SmackDown, ain't too bad. It's different, it's new, it's fresh. Because everybody else after JR is kind of suck. Cole's just getting old. So, yeah, Cole and JR wasn't too bad. Cole and the King weren't too bad, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
But I think it was a pretty good overall WrestleMania. I enjoyed it. Not sure if Junior enjoyed it as much as I did. But
I think Junior would have enjoyed it more if Hogan would have came out.
Damn right, man. Came out and started leg dropping people. But speaking of leg drops, Andy, I heard you did a leg drop on them taxes, man. You filled them out. You got it done, man. You're a happy man.
Yeah, I heard my girlfriend to do it, and I think Trump's gonna. I'm getting more of a return than last year.
Oh, cool.
So, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know if it was she was using TurboTax, the deluxe version. But I don't know. I felt like there was kind of like stuff missing. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. So you ended up buying the software and filling it out. Have you ever done that before, or do you usually go to a tax guy?
I used to go to a tax guy, the guy you recommended. He got a little too pricey for me. So I started using TurboTax for a couple of years, and then they were getting pricey. And then I got the last couple of years, I used the Free Tax USA.
Yeah.
And to file with the state was like even cheaper. It was like $10 or something. But this year she's like, I do everybody's taxes. I'll do your taxes. I'm like, oh, okay. So I bought it for the whole family. We got it real cheap on the Costco. And there's a lot of crap. I don't know. It was all right. But I usually do my taxes rather early. This year I kind of dragged on it because they're doing like in a week.
Yeah, tax season's almost over, and I know people are going to start rushing to get them finished and even mail them out. I remember a few years ago, like the post office was like inundated with people trying to mail them in and send them in and get them in on time to the IRS.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty rough. I mean, not rough, but I mean, we all got to do taxes and shit, but yeah, it was, I don't really enjoy doing them. Like, people, like, you know, I get into this whole thing, like, oh, we're going to get this big return. Like, well, you know what? Why the fuck don't they just tax me right instead of me having to do all this paperwork to get my money back? And then even if you don't do it, they still get, they come after your ass and shit, even though they owe you money, which makes no fucking sense, but whatever. I don't want to get tracked. They're probably listening to CIA and NSA.
Damn right. Everybody's always listening, especially Obama, man.
But I let them see what I'm doing. I never put a tape in my laptop. You know what I'm saying?
You put a Band-Aid over the camera.
I just don't want them to listen, so I just cover up the mic. But everything else, I just look over there once in a while, like, yeah, I know you're watching. You can't be hearing.
Oh, good, man. So you're happy with your taxes, man? You're getting a good return?
It's a decent return, but it's all that money's already spoken for, so.
Oh, shit, man. You already bought some new toy?
I'm living guinea fab, yeah, man.
Oh, shit. So
I'm going to get like just a new Xbox for the fuck of it and a new PS4. Because I can, you know.
Oh, yeah, because you already got one, but like, screw it. Let me get two.
I'm going to just buy them and put them in a box and just like, yeah, I got them and throw them in the basement or some shit.
Oh, cool, man. It's good to hear, man, that the taxes went well. I know you were kind of hesitant, but yeah, you own a house, so you know things are usually pretty go pretty well with homeowners.
And that's why the account that you recommended, he always told me, this is the max return I could get you. He was showing me the number on your taxes, and I was just like, shit, man. And then so I was like, all right. It's always half, dude. They always take the half. You always get like half back. Well, a bit half, depending on if you're like a one percenter. But he could work towards that goal to get that max return, you know, and he would tell you all this stuff before you would get audited. So, I mean, it's all right, I guess. It's scary because I've been audited. I got audited 1 year, and I had to pay a lot of fucking money because the thing we tried to do didn't work for them. And, like, you could do all this shit, but the more you delay it, the more they charge you more interest and... It's fucking scary, man. And they when they, what they can do, they can literally take everything just because fucking forgot to do something or they don't like it.
You move the decimal point over too many times.
Because instantly they think you're trying to fuck them over.
Yeah.
So they're like, we did this thing and didn't work, and they're like, yeah, this shit ain't gonna fly, man. Here's your fucking interest penalty fees. You gotta pay this. Otherwise, you got to come and make an appointment, and then we'll fucking, like, the appointment for what, dude? They're just going to fuck you over even more. And then the more you wait, the more they charge you interest and penalties.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's a no-win situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They might settle with you. That's a possibility, but that takes time. And then, but that's a whole nother issue, man.
Yeah, I know a lot of people start, like, small businesses. And then keep track of all their receipts and put everything tax deducted and all that stuff. But I know at times by doing that, you make yourself more prone to get audited.
Right.
So I know it was something Alana's been wanting to try, especially since she's dabbing into starting a little venture on her own. And I told her, I'm like, yeah, you know, we just got to be careful. We got to keep good record keeping of all of our receipts. Because if we get audited, I don't want to have any problems where we're like, well, let's try to dig out the receipts in this big pile that we throw all our receipts into. You know, we're going to have to try to stay organized and keep an Excel sheet and all that goofy shit, you know, just trying to keep everything neat and together in case, you know, the IRS tries to come knock on our door and tell us, hey, where's this receipt for this Chipotle's that you went to for a business meeting?
Oh, yeah, man. He ordered double steak. That's a big no-no, man. Yep. You can't claim that double steak. What? We only cover the initial steak.
Uh-huh.
The rest you got to pay tax. Man. Yeah, you owe us $1,000. What the fuck just happened? The extra steak was just $3. Yep. And they wait, dude, like 2 years. And it's not like, oh, a couple months. Dude, they come 2 years. Yeah, after 2 years, we looked at everything. You fucked up, man. And you owe us money.
Yep.
You going to pay us or you want to come and talk to us? It's just literally, that's how the letter that I got. Like, you fucked up. We looked at it. And then, like, why you wait, like, two fuck? It's out of sight, out of mind. You think it's all cool. No, they wait, like, 2-3 years, and they come. Then you get the fucking letters.
Yep. And then, like you said, after waiting so long, you start getting penalties. You start getting interest where they're like, yeah, this is how much you owe us. And since it's been 2 years, here's the interest that you owe us for the 2 years because you didn't pay.
It's rough. And, like, obviously they go after people, I guess, that have money. But people who don't have money, it's just like a hole that you're never going to get out, man.
Yeah, I know a few people that have gotten audited and owe money. And it's taken them a few years because, you know, a lot of middle class America here, we live paycheck to paycheck and have a few bucks in the savings account, but nothing nearly the amount that if you get audited, you get penalties, you get this and that. Before you know it, you could be in a hole where it'll take you, you know, 2-3 years to climb out.
Damn Obama. Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on, man. Who's in? I don't even know. Who can we blame? Man, damn Trump. Give me a good paying job.
Yeah. But no, man, good to hear you got your taxes done, man. Something else you made mention when you walked in was that you're trying to finish up that Mad Men. What season are you up to and how many are they?
Well, I stopped watching a couple. There's 7 seasons. I got up to season, like, halfway through season 5 when I stopped watching it.
Like, initially or just initially, this run?
In its initial run.
Okay. So you've never actually finished watching Mad Men at all?
I haven't seen, like, the last 2 seasons, and I stopped watching, like, 4 fucking years ago, 5 years ago.
Ah, okay. I don't know when it ended.
It has to be, like, 3 or 4 years now.
I always thought you saw the whole thing and you're just starting over again.
So I started watching it again, and, man, it's, like, more, these last seasons are more, they're trying to make the show, I feel like, cinematic. Because there's a lot of shit going on, and so it's not it's starting to go over to the 70s. It's like late 69 or like 70, so it's almost wanting, they're almost to the 70s, and so they're there, and it's good. Draper's doing his thing. He's having his, like, crises, and the other characters, They're moving on, which is kind of weird. And Sterling and all these other guys, the initial, because they left and started their own company. And I remember they left and they lost their biggest account, which was Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strikes.
Because leading up to that, they kept throwing, oh, you have Lucky Strike. What else have you done? They kept throwing it in his face. And they're like, once Strike is gone, like, that was their biggest account, you know, what the fuck. And then they lose it, and the guy doesn't know what to fucking do. Like, that's all he was known for, because he had that account.
When you used to smoke, what brand did you used to smoke?
Marlboro.
Marlboro. Did you ever smoke, like, Lucky Strikes?
No, I heard of Lucky Strikes. I remember talking to the old timers.
Your dad ever smoked those?
Nah, they smoked Marlboro. The only, my father, you know, used to smoke Winston's. Winston's, he was a weird one.
Yeah.
But at Lucky Strike, I talked to the old timers. They were smaller and they didn't have filters.
Ah, okay. So kind of like Farros,
yeah,
or?
Yeah. And then they came out with the filters. But I don't even know if they're still around. I imagine they are.
You know, I don't think so. I don't think I see them at stores anymore.
After this, I'm going to go get back a pack of Lucky Strikes.
Yeah, man.
Like, you got Lucky Strike? Oh, yeah, we do. Like, no one's bought that in years.
They've been sitting back here.
Yeah. Yeah, those discounted, or are they in clearance or something? But yeah, so, and then, like, you see all the transitioning from, you know, like, how we are now with, like, marriage. One of the women in the show, she has a boyfriend, and the boyfriend's like, I really miss you. I hate leaving. Like, I have something to ask you. So she's talking to the other ladies in the office. She's like, oh, he's going to ask you to marry him. So, thinking, you know, how time is, you know, back then. So she asked him, he asked her to, like, move in together. And I'm like, oh, and she's just like, instantly, she didn't even think about it, like, yes, let's do it. And I'm thinking, like, okay. And then, so she has dinner, she invites her mom, and she's telling her mom, like, mom, I have something to tell you, like, yeah, we're gonna live, we're moving in together. And she got pissed, like, she just like, I gotta go. And she's like, what's wrong? Nothing. Just, I gotta go. Bring me my cake, man. I'm taking that cake I brought for dessert. And I'm out of here.
Damn, man. She even took her
cake
back.
She was that pissed. Like, man, y'all fucking up. So she leaves. And then she's like, what's wrong? Like, at least lie to me. Like, what the fuck? You don't think people I know people don't live together, but I don't need to know about it. Why are you throwing it in my face? Like, what's wrong? She's like, you're going to be living in sin. Like, this guy's going to use you up. He's going to test to see how it is to live with someone. He's going to learn everything he needs to do. And then he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out of here. And then he's going to be ready for his next woman who he's going to marry. And he already knew what he needed to learn from you. She's like, but that's what, you know, that makes me happy. She's like, you know, don't you want me to be happy? She's like, not like this. This is not going to be good for you. Living in sin. Your dad would be pissed off too. So don't be saying dad wanted you to be happy. This is fucking wrong. Like, damn. Give me my cake and like, boom, she's out.
That's some old school shit, man.
Yeah, as I'm telling you, it's like old school shit. Today, you know, parents be like, okay, you sure? I don't know. You know, and today, like, oh, we're going to do it. It's a different time, you know. Like, we talked about it. Like, we kind of grew up with it. But by then, it was already, like, nobody thinks like that. Now, it's just completely, like, it's obsolete, dude. Like, Mark Harding broken. Delete. It's like, no one thinks about that shit no more, right? And it's just like, oh, okay, let's do it. It makes me happy. It makes us happy. Let's fucking do it.
I don't know if it's increased in quantity, like the amount of people that live together before they're married, or it's more
they're
having
babies before they're married.
Or it's more like they're upfront about it now, because back in the day it happened. I mean, just like that lady alluded to, you know, it's like, yeah,
but it was like
people do it, you know,
persona non grata, like no one talked about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Throw it in people. Everybody did it. It's just we don't want to know about it.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that maybe the amount was still the same, that there was still the same amount of people living together back then as it is today, but maybe back then just people didn't talk about it.
You'll see our article that we're going to talk about, like how it's a big difference. A lot of it today's I was listening to another, you know, real quick, how millennials, like, I was listening to Joe Rogan. He has this guy, Don Pena, and he was saying some, like, he's a financial guy, and he was talking about millennials and how they're fucking up. And he said some, I was driving up here, and I was listening, like, man, this guy is fucking, he makes sense to me. He's like, I'm a man, I'm an alpha male, this guy I teach, he's an alpha male.
Does he lift those cowbells or what are
those? No, dude, this guy's like old. He's like in his 60s and he's like rich. And he's talking about how today the millennials are like, they read everything. They're fucking smart as fuck, but they don't do shit. They overanalyze everything. He goes, analysis, paralysis of analysis or something. They fucking,
that sounds cool.
They know everything, but they don't do shit. They're just there like, when we were growing up, we did everything. I was a man. He's like, you know how I
became? Why do you think they don't do it?
Because they're fucking, they think they know everything. And he goes, when I didn't do anything, or I didn't listen, my dad beat the shit out of me. That's made me to the man I am now. Nobody gets hit no more. I mean, it's a part of it, you know. It's kind of archaic, but yeah. But there is some truth into that. And then they go into, he's like, the millennials, they have this fucking, he goes, it's free money. You know, to get a loan, it's like a 2%. That's fucking ridiculous, dude. That's fucking basically free money. How can you not make money, millennials? Start a business when you get an interest rate of 2% in today's fucking world. Like, it's fucking crazy. And not be successful, it's free fucking money. They're going to look back at this decade, at this age, and be like, man, we fucked up. We left all this money on the table. Because, he goes, it's just the way they think. They don't do shit. They just read everything. They know everything, but they don't do shit.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds kind of fascinating, man. It makes sense to a certain extent. But I don't know. I like to educate myself as well before I make big decisions.
Who doesn't? But yeah. He goes to a point where you read so much. All that's left is there to do. He said there was a guy he was talking to about self... what did he call it? Like, he read all these books to better himself, be a better businessman. And he goes, well, what the fuck have you done? Well, nothing. Then you ain't shit. He basically told him, you haven't done shit, but you know all this stuff. And you're like, what, you're 35, 36? He's like, yeah, you're basically just, you're just a pussy. Like, you're afraid to fail. Like, everyone's going to fucking fail. Like, just fucking do it. And he goes, it's just these kids, like, he goes, literally, they're going to look back at this time, especially business millennials, and they're going to literally going to be like, man, we fucked this up. And they're going to put, he goes, literally, like, don't do it. He goes, they're going to stick a gun in their mouth and blow their head up because they fucked up on how much money they could have made in this time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much money they could have made, but I do kind of agree. Sometimes knowing too much kind of prevents you from moving forward. And I did see something a few days ago, like something on YouTube while I was surfing. And it was something like motivation. He's just like, motivation is crap. It doesn't exist or it doesn't work right. He's just like, nothing in life that's worth having, you can motivate yourself to it. It's like, it's almost like you have to turn off your internal mechanism to stop you from trying to do it, because everything is a risk. It's a risk,
right?
And your body does not naturally want to take risks. It does not naturally want to jump, you know, to from building to building, because it automatically knows there's a chance I'm going to fall. There's a chance I'm going to kill myself. I can't make this jump. So your body automatically starts working to create a panic in your system to make it where you're sweating, you're nervous. And it makes you want to take a step back and say, like, let me not do this.
It's always the human psyche, as I know it and I've experienced. You're always going to find reasons. When you really don't want to do something, you're going to find every reason not to do it.
Exactly.
And you just fucking say, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And you just take that leap of faith or you fucking do it.
Exactly.
But we're always going to find reasons not to do anything.
For sure.
Like, you know, getting back to the amendment about marriage, it's the article that we're talking about is it's just the way we grew up. Like, I'm taking my classes for my Catholicism, you know, to get my first communion. One of the big things the church pushes is there's two things they really hate. They hate abortions and they hate people who live together. I don't want to say hate, it's a strong word, but they really, really disagree with that. They know that they look at the family units, you know, mom, father, kids. That is the foundation, a pillar of the church that cannot be shaken. You cannot give. They're not going to give in to that. I mean, if they do, it'd be interesting. But they look at it as like that's a solid foundation. And the way society is now, a lot of people live together before they get married. They're having kids before they're married. So today it's like kind of like just normal. And the article we're talking about is called Young Americans Are Killing Marriage, because, you know, a lot of them, they wait now to get married. They live with their parents and they're not moving out. So the more than half of 25 to 35-year-olds are single. In 1980, more than two-thirds were married. Like, just that fucking number. You understand that? Like, that's fucking crazy. So it's like they're not even getting married.
So it's like flip-flop.
Yeah, you know? Completely flip-flopped.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, people got married more and there weren't that many single.
So, yeah, between 25 and 34 in 1980, it was just under 70% were married. Today, millennials, in 2015 when they did the survey, it's just literally under 40%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big fucking gap.
Yeah, man.
And then between 25 and 34 in 1980, around 11% were separated. Millennials, it's just under 9%. And then
and that would make sense because less people are getting married, so less percentage.
Well, now get this. In baby boomers, again, from 25 to 30-year-olds in 1980, just under 20% were never married. In 2015, just over 50%. It's like 51%.
Wow, man.
That's a big number.
Yeah, and to be honest, man, I only know this generation. I don't know past generations, but I do know a lot of single men and single friends that have not gotten married or maybe did kind of try it but are separated now. So I do know that there's a big percentage of not a big percentage of my friends, but there's a few friends that I know that are single and not married.
So there they go. Baby boomers' eagerness to get married meant they were far likely than today's young people to live on their own. Anderson looked at the share of each generation living independently, either as heads of their own household or married couples. So, going back to baby boomers in 1980, he goes, 81% of baby boomers were living on their own. So they weren't married. They were just living on their own. Millennials, it's under 60%. there's a 20% difference gap. And then in 1980, they were living with their parents or grandparents. Baby boomers was 9%, and the millennials is around 21%. So that is it's another big number that we always read about. So yeah, this is but the big thing where they excel at is the education.
They're no dummies.
They ain't no dummies. They sure read a lot, but they're book smart. And look at this.
Street smart, is that what you're alluding to, yeah, man?
Exactly. So in 19, like right now, the millennials at this age, 25 to 34, they had about, what is it, 20, just under 25% had a bachelor's. Millennials were pushing over almost 40% have a bachelor's. So, I mean, like, that's a big fucking gap. But we did outbeat them by having a high school diploma, you know.
In some college?
In some college. No, actually, millennials beat us on some college.
Oh, so, shit, man.
See, but they did point out there's no sign that young people today are lazier than three decades ago. In 1980, 74% of baby boomers reported they had worked in the past week. In 2015, slightly more millennials, 77% said they had been to work in the past week.
But working, do they mean like hugging trees?
Another one for millennials. I think they might mean they were driving Uber or some shit.
Yeah, like so, they, you know, went out and hugged the tree. So
they're kind of saying maybe they did it because they were...
planted a flower.
They were... they can't afford to live on their own. I don't fucking know. But I know a lot of these kids today, they're not down with marriage. They look at it as something that's demeaning, especially with the gender stuff now. Who knows? I guess no one really looks forward to getting married.
Yeah, the man, stop identifying me. I don't like to have labels on me, man. I just like to be a human being.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons this generation hates
old like people, men, like you, Andy.
Like old men, men who know what the hell they want. They just look at you like, oh, you're a fucking... It started where you're a bully. Now you're like...
You're misogynistic.
You're misogynistic. You know, the other day I was talking to my mom. She said my dad was a machista. Yeah. And I'm like, what? Like, I was kind of shocked to hear that. Like, I think my dad, yeah, he had his issues. Yeah, he was an alcoholic. But he always knew what the fuck he wanted, and he didn't hesitate to say what he wanted. And today, these kids, they, a lot of them, they just dance around it. They're not big on confrontation. So that's my thing. And I don't know if that's the right term for my dad, you know? But... I don't know. Sometimes you just got to spit out, say what you want. But millennials are just, they're different, man. They don't really get upset. They just, like, express stuff and how they don't disagree. They disagree whatever you're feeling. And it's just weird.
Well, I don't know. To me, like, misogynistic means more like you don't let your wife wear what she wants to wear. Like, you dictate.
That was never like that.
That to me is more like that, or her ability to be able to speak to other men freely without worrying about what her husband would say.
Well, that's just inappropriate.
And I think it's I think that is more misogynistic, you know, stuff like that. I think that's what women back in the day, them old school women, would perceive that to be. Like you could you even imagine your mom. And if your dad were still married, her having a Facebook, and your dad would be cool with that, you know, her socializing with other people.
I don't think my dad would understand what the fuck. He barely understood Netflix.
Or 1080p, man.
He'd be like, I don't HD. Know. But like, if my mom would have gotten a letter, I think he'd been pissed off, yeah. Who the fuck's writing you?
Yeah.
You see that? Yeah. Like something like that. It's just, it's a different time. You know, I give millennials a hard time. Yeah, they do a lot of good shit, but they're just, it's a complete 180 from what we are now. And them kids, they're just, when you see them like protesting and like crying on the streets, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys, man? It's just the way shit is. And like, move on. Like, you can make a change in 4 years, like with the president. And like, when you see like them crying and like, I don't know. And then they're just like posting stuff. Everything they post on social networks, which is cool. But I mean, sometimes it's just too much. I don't know.
I don't know.
Nothing's really private. I also read somewhere that Like, to them, nothing's really private. It's just out there. You either like it or you don't, you know, and then just like, well, some things aren't meant to be private.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in the ability and the privilege to be able to protest. I think people should be able to go out there and acknowledge that they disagree with something. Now, something like Trump being elected, well, that was done by the majority of, you know, people, or maybe not even the majority, because I think Hillary won the majority popular vote, but the Electoral College, Trump won. So there's nothing to protest. It's like you had an election. In 4 years, you can elect somebody else.
They're having tantrums. That's how I look at it. They're like, my guy didn't win. What the fuck? And then they're just doing their usual spiel, like, I want this person. Fuck this guy. Well, what happened to your being lenient and giving people second chances and chances?
Yeah, yeah.
The fucking guy, he's a bully. He takes women, gropes women and, like, all this shit. And I'm just like, okay, like, well, give him a second chance. Happen to your open-mindedness, you know?
Yeah, but, like, stuff like this, stuff happening in Syria now, if protests came out and said, you know, I'm pro leaving them alone, or I'm pro having the U.S. intervene into what's going on over there. To me, but I'm not saying the argument. I'm saying the protest of that is to me legitimate, because you're trying to voice your opinion. You're trying to bring it to the forefront. You're trying to invoke a change and have people think like-minded like you. But stuff like an election, well, that happened. Everybody had their chance to voice it. You lost, so move on. But stuff like that, stuff where there's an event, there's the Boston Marathon bombing, and if you want to go out there and protest something that's going on, you want to protest the government knocking doors down to search for the suspects, have a protest about that. You know, have a protest about stuff that's going on that you can actually make a change. Yeah. And it's not something like an election that, you know, there's nothing you can do about it because everybody did have a voice.
Well, like, real quick, like, that story, like, you know, millennials are protesting. They wanted to burn a flag, a U.S. flag. I forgot what the hell they were protesting. I don't recall. That FedEx guy, you remember that story? He came and took the flag. He punched the guy and he took it. And then they're just all looking at each other like, well, what the fuck are we going to do? Like, this is your typical, like, millennial. And then people had to come out and say, oh, FedEx, please don't fire the driver. He was protecting the U.S. flag. And then they had to respond like, yeah, we're not going to fire him. You know, it's just like that sort of point we're at in our country America is not perfect. But, I mean, the guy was going to burn the fucking flag. You know, can they legally protest burn the flag? Probably. It is freedom of speech, I think. But do I agree with it? No. But the guy came up and beat the shit out of them two guys or whatever that group, and they just look at each other like, we don't know what to do. And they just like, you fucking bitches. And he took the flag. And then you're like, get the fuck out if you don't like this country. And like, there you go, man. Now, could that guy probably be arrested? Probably, but which is kind of weird because he was protecting the flag. So, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I think they're wasting their time on protesting shit that they can't change.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to have protests and people out there voice their opinions. Just do it for things that we can actually change and we can actually make a difference.
You down for sinning? You down for living in sin? Like the millennials?
No, man. To me, I'm a man of Christ, man. You know what I'm saying, Andy? I don't be living no women, you know, having them live in my dormitory quarters or anything like that, Andy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, it's these kids, they just think different. Maybe we were brainwashed. I don't know what to call it. But to me, I kind of tried living with someone and it was nice, but I felt one of the reasons why that relationship failed because we kind of went through it and we kind of knew we had an out. You know, I'm not committed to this person. And I think that's how they look at it because they don't want nothing ever to be permanent. And when you're like that, even marriage now, people just get divorced like nothing. I don't even think they take it that seriously as much as they used to, like me and you do. Because I'm only planning to get married once. If something happens, then I'm not going to get married ever again.
At least I would think the majority of Christians out there, when they get married under God, they do it with the intent of it being forever. So maybe that does have something to do with it. I don't know. Does that go to say that maybe millennials are not Christian believers? I don't know. Maybe that's maybe that's a conversation for a later podcast. Because that's
pretty... Well, they're not that. I don't think they're not good people. It's just...
Oh, I didn't say they were not good people.
It was implied in that comment.
No, that's what I'm hearing. I'm
getting. It was implied when you said
that's
that.
What I'm hearing from you, that you're implying...
I'm just saying that they think
Christians
different.
Are not good people. No, you said I never Christians. Said that.
Like, you made them... Then I think you said under your breath, damn heathens. So I'm like, well, Andy, they're not bad people.
Stop labeling people, damn it.
I'm a man. Okay, I've been told that.
Stop labeling it. You're not a man. You're a human.
Oh, no, I'm not a human.
But you know what this
but
is,
there's
Andy?
The same people that tell you you're an animal.
Yeah, you are kind of like an animal,
in
Andy.
In the bedroom, but fuck, man. I'm a human being, damn it.
But you know what this is, Andy? This is the end. This is the end of this podcast. Oh, man. We'd like to
thank
everyone.
Don't label things. Maybe this is just the beginning.
There you go, Andy, man. I like this, man. It's good. Part two coming later. But we'd like to thank you all out there for listening. We'd like to encourage you to visit our Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Help us out and tell us what we could improve. Do you want us to stop talking about Christian life and these hatred of certain things? Or do you want us to stop talking about this or talk about more about that? You know, please let us know. Let us know what you think about the show. FFNquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage as well. Has a bunch of links, bunch of all of our old articles, all of our old podcasts. You can go in there and listen to some old stuff. If you're a new listener, or even if you're an old listener, you want to go listen to an old Christmas episode that we posted, boom, go to freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Any provider that you're using, please hit that subscribe and like button. We really appreciate it. It really helps our numbers out, whether you believe it or not. Every like and every subscribe that we get, it just helps boost us more and more and more to the top. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
Not living in sin, Andy.
We'd like to thank you all for listening. We greatly appreciate you tuning in every week. And we will see you all next week.
That was cool, Dad.